on YouTube, and good morning to you on our podcast today. Today is the 21st of January, day 21 of our 31-day healing challenge. This is this is day 21. Can you believe it? I'm just like absolutely amazed it has gone by this fast. Sorry for being late. I had some technical difficulties at the beginning, but now we are here. Praise God. We're going to be delving into some problematic, I think, scriptures today. What I mean by problematic is that I believe they have been misinterpreted, they have been misunderstood over the years. And I believe that God wants to make things clear, and He has started to. And many, many more people are understanding what the scriptures are saying. Amen. So fix that up a little bit. There we go. All right. So here we are. Day 21. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And as we get there, I want to remind you of a few books. One of them is Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. A tremendous book. I think you need to get it. W.C. Stevens wrote a book called Jesus, Our Healer. And you can get those on Amazon. You can get them, because they deal with some of the same issues that we're dealing with today. A lot of the believers today, and I mean, what I mean by believers, a lot of Christians, people who call themselves Christians, that have said that, this is really sad, but they say that Jesus doesn't heal anymore. Well, that's not true, but the fact is they try to prove that there is no healing, and that is the problem that we are facing. So I want to go to two books that I wrote. One of them is from Breakdown to Breakthrough, deals with emotional healing and soul health, and you want to get this book. Another book you want to get is SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. You get them both from me at TomAndSarahMinistries@gmail.com for $25, and I'll ship them to you. If you are going to give them away, I mean, I'll sign them as well, but if you're going to give them away, there's a 10% discount that you can get simply by telling me, Tom, I want to order these. I own them, but I want to order these from you for somebody else, a gift for somebody else. And we'll be glad to do that. So, praise God. We'll see how long we take in our teaching today. But I want to deal with this issue of Paul's thorn in the flesh. We're gonna jump into this thing. A lot of people use Paul's thorn in the flesh to prove, so to speak, not even so to speak, they try to prove that God does not want to heal anymore. And that's about as biblical as God helps those who help themselves. It's not even true. It's just like, come on, people. Understand that God does not give you sickness. Okay? We have to understand that. Secondly, we need to understand that God, in His will, said that I will for you to be healed. I paid for your healing on the cross as well as your sin. And so He did this. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. This is where Paul mentions his thorn in the flesh. Okay? And I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. Okay? He said, "The extraordinary level of the revelations I've received is no reason for anyone to exalt me." So people were exalting him because he had revelations. Pastor Bill is a man that I respect and honor and love. And he has deep revelations from the Bible by meditating in it, by talking to God about them. And God reveals Himself deeper in those revelations because of the time that he spends with Jesus. Now, I do that too. I spend time, and God is able to reveal things to me from His Word simply through meditation in His Word. Now, biblical meditation, I'll say, is different from Eastern religion meditation in that the biblical meditation is that you fill your mind with the Word of God and you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? And Eastern religion says you need to empty your mind, but the Bible teaches us that we need to fill our mind. Okay? You need to fill your mind. And so that's where we're going. All right, so the extraordinary level of the revelations I've received is no reason for anyone to exalt me. Okay, people were trying to exalt Paul, all right? For this reason, for this is why a thorn in my flesh was given to me, the adversary's messenger sent to harass me, keeping me from becoming arrogant. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to relieve me of this, but he answered me, my grace is more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I'm not defeated by my weaknesses, but delighted. For when I feel my weaknesses, an endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger, for my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. Now, Paul mentions this thorn in the flesh, and a lot of Christians use it to justify submitting to nearly any problem that comes along. Well, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, so I have a problem, so I'm going to submit to this problem. All right? Satan has twisted this passage. Hear me. Satan has twisted this to deceive many, many people into believing that God would not heal Paul. So then, how can I expect to be healed if he's not even going to heal Paul? Well, let's examine this closely. Let's go into this thing a little bit more closely and find out exactly, based on Scripture, what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. All right? First of all, this thorn came because an abundance of revelations Paul had received. Okay? Understand it. People were trying to exalt him, but he had this thorn in the flesh. Okay? Excuse me. So in verse 7, it says that it came unless Paul should be exalted above measure or exalted by men. It came so people wouldn't jump on him. Now, do you remember, think about it. If Paul's life was rosy and he had everything he always wanted and more, and he went around preaching the gospel, go back to the age. Do you think that people would turn him away? Do you think that people would want to beat him? Of course not. They wouldn't want to do that. You have to see that Paul had this thorn in the flesh to keep people and to keep himself from becoming arrogant. Too many preachers and too many Christians, believers, I would say, are arrogant because they think that they got what they deserve. I worked hard for this. I've got a YouTube channel and I got 2 million followers. I've got a TikTok and 2 million people follow me. And they become arrogant and God says, so what? So what? The Bible teaches us that God gave him this thorn in the flesh. And since it's Paul, okay, so Paul, was given this thing so that he would stop being exalted. And it has been interpreted as this to say that this thorn was to keep Paul humble. Well, therefore, God had to be the author of it so that Paul would stay humble. Only God would want Paul to be humble. But I got to tell you this. The Bible teaches that people have to humble themselves. God does not humble you. You have to be humble. You humble yourself. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Remember this. If you exalt yourself, you will be humbled, or you will be abased. But if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. All right? So God does not want you to exalt yourself. You don't need to have a PR man to exalt you. Don't exalt yourself. If you exalt yourself, you're going to be humbled. But if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will come to you, okay? Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. But if you have a modest opinion of yourself and choose to humble yourself, you will be honored, okay? 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Those who submit or humble themselves to God will be exalted by God. God does not need you to advertise your greatness. God will lift you up. And when God lifts you up, then you know you have the anointing of God. You don't need a man to tell you that you're the pastor. You don't need the man to tell you that was a great sermon. You don't need him. Well, you know, it's good that the people do that. But the deal is that you don't need that. I don't need somebody to tell me that I have the anointing of God. I need God to tell me I have His anointing. I need God to continually show me that I have His anointing. Paul was not speaking of exalting himself above measure through pride, but rather the thorn came from Satan to keep Paul from being exalted by God in the eyes of the people. Many more people would have received what Paul preached if everything was always rosy to him. But there was this messenger of Satan. Now, messenger, that's the same word that was used when the ministering angels or the ministering messengers came and ministered to Jesus. It's the same word, messenger. Angels came. Satan always buffeted Paul and scared away the faint-hearted from committing themselves to Jesus, whom Paul preached. If you follow this man, Paul, you're going to have this happen to you. Paul's thorn was this... was this demonic angel, was this messenger sent by Satan that was there continually to stir up persecution against him. There's three Old Testament scriptures, Numbers 33, 55, Joshua 23, 13, and Judges 2, 3, where people are spoken of as being thorns in your side and thorns in your eyes. Okay, these things are this is the thorn. That's a thorn. Had nothing to do with sickness. Paul asked the Lord to remove persecution from him, not sickness. And the Lord told him that His grace was sufficient. Take this persecution from me. In verse 7 of these verses, God magnified and exalted Joshua in the sight of the people. He continued to do that in the New Covenant, Acts 5:13. So we see that the exalting spoken of here is not a negative kind of exalting, but God's kind. He doesn't want people to exalt Him. That's negative. But He wants God to exalt Him. And this just further strengthens the fact that the thorn was not God's sending. God did not send this thorn. In verse 7, after the thorn of the flesh is mentioned, there is a phrase that sets off that's set off by a bunch of commas, which says the messenger of Satan to buffet me or to harass me. This is the explanation of what the thorn is. It's not a thing, but rather a demonic messenger. This word used as messenger here is always translated as an angel, or messenger refers to a created being. So Paul's thorn is literally a demon sent by Satan to buffet him or to harass him. This word buffet, harassment, is translated as buffeting or harassing, means to strike repeatedly. As the waves would crash on the shore, these things would be coming against him, just like that. Well, name some of those things, Tom. Okay, how about this? He was stoned. He was beaten with rods. He was thrown in prison. He was punched. Paul had all this happen to him. Every place he went. In Ephesus, all of a sudden the whole city goes into an uproar because Paul's preaching there, and this woman who is there to help make a profit for these image makers of the goddess Diana. All these things happen, and Paul is continually being harassed. He was the one who killed Christians for Christ. He was the one that went around and was preaching studied under Gamaliel and learned so much about the law, about the Torah. And he preached it and he shared it and expounded upon it. And then he becomes a believer, and then everybody goes ballistic against him. This is his thorn. The enemy kept coming in, trying to harass him and trying to beat him. Listen to this. He endured shipwrecks. How did these demons continually strike Paul? Well, it is known that he was sick at times. And the thing that has made this acceptable is the use of the word weakness and infirmity in verses 9 and 10. Infirmity definitely means a sickness. However, it's used that way in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, but it is not the only meaning of the word. The number two definition is any lack or inadequacy. For instance, in Romans 8:26, it says that the Spirit also helps our infirmities. He doesn't help us have them. He helps us get rid of them. He helps us in our inadequacy by making everything else adequate. In this case, the context of what he's speaking is not speaking of sickness, but rather not knowing what to pray for in that context. He helps me in my infirmity or my lack of understanding in prayer. So the Spirit is ever making intercession for me. In this context, in 2 Corinthians in verse 9 and 10, it does not mean sickness. Rather, this word infirmity does not mean sickness. It means a lack or inadequacy. It means a buffeting. In the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he had just finished listing all those infirmities that there were. Okay? All of these things that came against him. He already listed them. In verses 23 through 29, he says imprisonment, stripes, he was beaten with the whip, shipwrecks, stonings. None of these speak of sickness. All of them speak of harassment in some respect. Pains. Verse 27 mentions weakness and painfulness, which some have tried to say it is sickness. But it's just as possible that he could have been weary and suffering painfulness from such things as being stoned or left for dead. All of these things in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 refer to persecutions as infirmities. So in the context, this demonic messenger that came against Paul stirred up persecution against him. Paul asked to have these persecutions removed from him. He didn't say sickness. Jesus told him, my grace is sufficient. In other words, my grace is adequate. My grace is ample supply or your provision. Ample supply. More than enough for you. Remember, Jesus said, in this world you will have persecution. That word persecution actually means pressures. In this world you will have them. And Jesus says, my grace is more than enough for you. It's ample. Also, sufficiency here in that word can mean purpose or ability or capacity. We're not redeemed from persecution. And Paul later stated that when he said in 2 Timothy that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Most gladly, therefore, he gloried in persecutions, reproaches, necessities, and distresses that the power of Christ might rest upon him. The word glory in here is an old English word which means to have dominion over. Therefore, I am going to have dominion over these things. It's used in Exodus 8:9, where Moses told Pharaoh to glory over him or command him when to destroy the frogs. The frogs came, he said, well, just tell me when you want to stop, and I'll stop it. In Acts 14:19, Paul was stoned and left for dead, but God raised him up, and the next day he walked at least 20 miles to the next town and started preaching again. The Lord didn't stop the persecution, but God's strength was certainly made perfect in Paul's weakness. Can you imagine what those that stoned him must have thought after they stoned him? He's left for dead, and he gets up and he preaches again. They could see the cuts, they could see the bruises, but they could also see the supernatural strength that God had flowing through him. I got to hurry this puppy up. For when I am weak, Paul says, then I am strong. There are the two other passages of scripture that I want to talk about. Were to those who believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a sickness, and that was Galatians 4:13 through 15, where Paul says that he preached the gospel to these Galatians through an infirmity of the flesh. And in verse 15, he makes reference to those people who were willing to poke out their eyes and give them to him. From this, I've heard many preachers say that Paul's thorn was a rare form of an ancient disease which characterized the running and the puffing of the eyes. But I want to say this. When you're thinking about being stoned and being hit by bricks and rocks, all right? I was watching Rocky the last couple of nights and just seeing the beating that he took at the hands of Apollo Creed. All right? His eyes were incredibly swollen. I've seen pictures of real boxers getting beaten and their eyes are just swollen from being punched so much. Of course your eyes would be dripping. Of course your eyes would be swollen. And people were willing to poke them out so Paul wouldn't have to do that. But that doesn't mean that he had the constant eye trouble. All right? Paul says, see what large letters I write. So what? That doesn't prove he had bad eyesight. He always had people signing for him or writing his letters, and then he would sign them. The instance that we mentioned earlier about Paul being stoned and left for dead happened in Lystra, which is a city in Galatia. Okay? The next day, Paul walked to Derbe, about 20 miles. Okay? He began preaching to them. Okay? With his multiple cuts, multiple bruises, how he didn't have a broken bone is beyond me. But they're not the result of a disease. They were the result of a beating. He also says in verse 13 that his infirmity was at the first, which leaves the impression that it was only temporary and that this thing that he would recover from, All right? Many people are starting to believe that Paul says, see what letters I write? See what letters I write? How big they are? He was referring to the long letter that he had written to everybody. And for this reason, I think that it's important to realize that the thorn in Paul's flesh was not something that Jesus, which Jesus died to redeem us from, such as sickness, is so that he wouldn't submit ourselves to these things. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have to resist, actively fight against the devil and the things he brings to see them flee. Satan has used traditional teaching about Paul's thorn to bring many Christians into a place of submitting to the devil. But praise God, you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Hear me when I say this. Christians that believe that sickness comes from God have submitted themselves to the doctrines of devils that says that Jesus, who redeemed you from those things, is giving you this sickness to teach you a lesson. Why would he do that? Paul's thorn in the flesh was a demonic thing that was coming against him on a continuous basis. And so don't use it as a doctrine to say that God makes you sick and that sickness is from God and that in order to keep you humble. That is foolishness. That's a doctrine of demons. And you cannot accept that doctrine. When you learn about healing and when you do healing, and when you see healing, you know that it's a work of the devil. Remember, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus comes that you might have life. Is sickness life? Of course not. Is cancer life? Of course not. Why would God do that to you? His redemptive name of Rapha would be negated had that been the case. So understand, Paul's thorn in the flesh is not a sickness. It's a harassment. All right. Well, we're going to end there. And I hope you got something out of it today. And you know, again, there's no condemnation to you. If you believe, or if you are sick, there's no condemnation. If you haven't been healed of your sickness, it's not a condemnation against you. Remember, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, might be set free, might be delivered. Those who don't believe are condemned already. There's no condemnation to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Why would God do that? So, anyway, get these books, From Breakdown to Breakthrough and SOS, A 50-Day Journey to the Heart of God. I only have a few left, so if you want one, email me, tominsaraministries@gmail.com. It's my name, ministries@gmail.com. And I'll tell you how to get them. I take Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. If you want to donate into Tom and Sarah Ministries, you can do that through Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal. And and God will bless you. I don't want your tithe. Your tithe belongs to where you're getting fed. Okay? But if you want to give an offering and the Lord puts it on your heart to give an offering, give it. Okay? Well, God bless you guys. It's snowing here and, well, just like a little light snow here in Fairbanks. And tomorrow's going to be super cold. It's going to be, well, in the low 30s, under 30, like 30 below, 35 below. So it's going to be pretty chilly tomorrow. So anyway, just enjoy yourself. Remember, tomorrow's Sunday, and our ministry is going to be in the afternoon and not during the day. Okay, not in the morning. I'm going to be at church. Okay? So anyway, God bless you guys. Enjoy Jesus. He's the king. He's the author of your faith. He's the perfecter and the completer of your faith. And just go for this thing. Tomorrow, I think, you know, I don't know. I'll have to see, but, you know, we might be praying for the sick tomorrow. Start putting these things into practice. Okay? And we're going to learn how to pray for the sick. It's very simple. Just learn how to do it. Well, God bless you guys today. Don't tell me. That's still on, and that's still on, but okay. Well, I don't know why this thing went out, but it didn't. Okay. Well, anyway, God bless you guys. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time.